Okay, with no further ado, let's bring our guest on because he's got all kinds of important information to share with us. This man, by the way, Ted Pike, is a person I consider to be a hero, someone to look up to. This man is right out there on the front lines. He does real battle. He's not just exposing what's going on. He's actually in there fighting what's going on, literally risking his life on a daily basis. So I didn't want to punk your ego up too much there, Ted, but I think I'm convinced that such statements are warranted, for people like you. You're doing a great work, and you are a true, true American. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Charlie. Actually, there's a good deal of self-interest in my crusading. I like free speech. I've got to have it, and I'm trying to save my own neck in the process.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Yes, we, as many of our listeners are probably aware, the federal hate crimes bill did pass the Senate about 5 weeks ago. Earlier had passed the House, and now it's on its way to conference between the House and the Senate to weld together two varying types of bills into one federal hate crimes bill. It was attached as an amendment to the Defense Appropriations Bill, and what we are hoping is that there could possibly be a veto of the defense bill with the hate bill attached this fall if circumstances continue to move in the direction they're going. And I say that because just in the last couple of weeks, there is evidence of some real rebellion in the top leadership of Congress against this arms defense bill. And the Democrats themselves, Senator Patrick Leahy, who's the head of the Senate Arms Appropriations Committee, and his counterpart in the House, Senator John Murtha of Pennsylvania, they are defying Obama's threats. Obama has been threatening all spring that if the if his fellow Democrats, as well as Republicans in Congress, attach too much military pork, like F-22 fighter planes and things like that, to the defense bill, he's going to veto it. He's laying down, throwing down the gauntlet and threatening to veto the defense bill, and of course the hate bill is attached to that inextricably as an amendment. And just this last couple of weeks, these top leaders in the Senate, Democrats in the Senate, say that contrary to what Obama has threatened to veto, they are going to add on an extra couple billion dollars for extra F-35 jet engines. The F-35 is the cutting-edge latest jet in our military arsenal, actually more fast and maneuverable, etc., than the earlier F-22. But Murtha and Inouye are leading Democrats and leading other Republicans in saying we are going to attempt a presidential veto of the defense bill, arms bill, hate bill package. And just this last Monday, a week ago on Monday, at a VFW convention in Phoenix, Obama struck back at these titans of the Senate and House, and he says in no way is he going to tolerate not only extra F-35 engines, but he's not going to tolerate a huge helicopter fleet. They're wanting to add on, and the big jet transports. He says the military doesn't need. He's actually claiming that this new defense bill is an outdated relic of the Cold War, back when we were possibly facing aerial warfare and land warfare between the Soviet Union and the United States on the plains of Russia. He says now we need a trim, compact, bilingual fighting force that is more relevant to fighting the Taliban in Afghanistan.
Interesting.
So what I'm doing is I'm saying, well, if things are moving this way in the Senate, we could have a possible shootout between the president and a rebellious Congress. Why don't we grease it along? Why don't we actually get people faxing, bombarding Obama, telling him we hate the hate bill, we won't stand for it, we're mad not just about health care reform and other issues, we're also mad that he wants to make us a federal hate crimes bureaucracy like Canada. I've also been encouraging people who are involved in town hall protests this summer. We've got another week or so, week or 10 days of that possibility to actually get out there at town halls and criticize the hate bill, argue with these Democrats who voted for it this spring, and basically let the Democrats know that we are still angry about the hate bill. We are not going to go down without a fight. And certainly, we are going to increase the unpopularity of Obama and the Democrats. Looking forward to the midterm elections a year from now, we're going to remember next November. And we're in fact, at truthtellers.org, my website, we do have the list of all the Democrats and wayward Republicans even who voted for the hate bill, and we are going to keep that front and center even next year, reminding people to take revenge at the polling places.
So you're saying that this thing with the jets is a tag-along with the hate crimes bill?
Well, no. The every year we have a big federal defense bill, a defense
appropriations
bill.
So it's separate. It's totally
bill.
Separate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the jets are parts, according to Obama, that is added on there.
The reason I ask is this seems to me to be a nice little ploy, a little distraction, to make it look like he's so concerned about, yes, we don't need that, we don't want to be an aggressive nation and return to the Cold War status.
Uh-huh.
And all the while, the real bill that they want to get in is slipping right by, and people don't focus on that because they're so tickled pink that the president doesn't want to be a Cold War president. This is a good move forward for peace. When he's slipping that sleazy piece, you know, behind their backs, under their noses.
Well, actually, if they go along with the president, though, and congratulate him on trimming the military budget, they are working for the defeat of the hate bill, because you see that the hate bill is on there like a Siamese twin now. There's no line item veto allowed on that. And if the defense bill with all this pork goes through, then the hate bill goes through. And if we back down the president and he won't uphold his promise to veto, then we've got a federal hate bill in this country. But if we encourage the president to not feel terribly loyal to the hate bill because it is basically so unpopular that the people hate the hate bill, if we can continue to keep those fax messages going into the White House, letting them know how unpopular the hate bill is, along with the health care reform bill and a lot of other things, then we are increasing the possibilities that he will jettison the hate bill and go ahead and veto the arms bill without any feelings of loyalty or obligation to take it through. Now, he has promised to pass the hate bill, but he's also promised to veto an arms bill that has too much pork on it, you see. So if he vetoes the arms bill, then he's automatically free from his promise to pass the hate bill.
Yes.
So this is power politics, and obviously we're wanting to increase public resentment against the Democrats and their high-handedness and on a wide variety of issues. But really, the hate bill issue, I believe, is the most important paramount threat and concern to Christian conservative America right now, because even if we do have socialized medicine in this country, I believe it's worse to have an end of free speech, because I believe free speech is the beating heart of our republic, the beating heart of freedom.
Yeah.
If we lose our free speech, we lose all our other rights, and we can't debate socialized medicine.
And this really is the equivalent of what we see already having happened in, you know, in several European countries, up in Canada.
Oh, yeah, dozens of European countries.
Right. It's the same thing, just revamped, reworded, but it's the same type of thing. It's going to have the same kind of results. We will no longer have a Second Amendment.
Yeah, that's right. You see, this legislation has basically been tried out in Canada and a number of other countries, and all we have to do to look into our own future is look at where they have been after making this experiment. And of course, since 1971, when the Anti-Defamation League persuaded Ottawa to pass their federal hate crimes bill, we've seen a disaster for freedom and freedom of conscience and expression in Canada. Now up there, if anyone speaks out in criticism of federally protected groups, such as Jews, homosexuals, Muslims, and others, it means an immediate $5,000 fine after you go through a kangaroo tribunal hearing up there with one hearings officer judging your case. and it means actual prison if you repeat the offense. That is coming to America. The very same people who brought hate crimes laws to Canada, Europe, Australia are solidly behind this federal hate bill. In fact, just one day after the hate bill did pass the Senate this spring, ADL put out an official statement giving themselves credit for inventing the whole idea of hate crimes legislation, of persuading 45 U.S. states to adopt their model anti-hate laws, primarily during the 1990s, and of being the chief architect and promoter of the federal hate crimes bill. So they've laid it out, they're proud of it, and they would they're basically proud of their attempt to take away freedom in this country.
Absolutely astonishing. I mean, we're really at the threshold right here. This is going to be, you know, the life or death of our freedoms, this single bill.
Yes. Well, we have either the choice of doing nothing and waiting for the axe to fall, or taking this window of opportunity, which I believe is well worth making the most of. By the way, here is the fax number, and I don't have a phone number because the phone number is absolutely clogged, been for weeks there with protest about the health reform bill.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the fax number to the White House, and you can be confident this will get through. You may have to wait a few times. It is also fairly busy, but here's the number.
Folks, get a pen or, you know, pencil, piece of paper ready. You've got to take this number down. You have to take action because, again, we're all going to suffer from this one. So go ahead, give that number.
The fax line to Obama is 202-456-2461. Again, that fax line to the president is 202-456-2461. And give him this message, type this message out, and fax it to him, something like this, so you can say it in your own words. Mr. President, we will never forgive or forget if you sign the freedom-destroying, pedophile-protecting hate bill. Mr. President, we will never forgive or forget if you sign the freedom-destroying, pedophile-protecting hate bill.
Absolutely.
And I'd also like people who would still like to take part in a town hall meeting while their senators, especially the Democrats, are home, senators or House members, at the Family Research Council, that's FRC. You can just go to Family Research Council, their website, and they have a list of upcoming town hall meetings. I encourage you to go and speak out, question this, criticize those Democrats who voted for this, and make some signs, make a banner, and whatever. In fact, at truthtellers.org, our website, we do have an article, I think it's about three articles back on our, up on the upper right on our emergency alert section, where I have about five very powerful, very incisive criticisms of the hate bill. You can even read those off at your town hall meeting, anything to get this out, issue out, get it before the public, and let these politicians know we still are very angry about this.
And, you know, folks listening in, if you don't have a fax machine, you can just go down to your local convenience store, store 24, whatever. And you know, they'll have a fax there. What does it cost, a dollar or two?
I think it's about a dollar to send a fax.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You've got to do this. This is how you stop things like this. Not sitting and just listening to a broadcast like this and getting mad and then walking away and doing nothing. You know, this is how you do it. Flood the fax machine.
Yes.
Because, you know, to do nothing, you become complicit.
Absolutely.
You become part of the problem.
That's our biggest problem here in America, is we have literally hundreds of thousands of people who are listening to alternative talk radio and media and who know all about these conspiracies and even conspiracy theories and so on. They're experts in all of this, but you can't get them motivated to even pick up that phone because they are so jaded and so pessimistic that the government won't listen to us and there's nothing we can do to change. But
we need to show them that we are keeping them under watch and that we're not going to stand back.
Absolutely. And I remind people, I was just on with Joyce Riley this morning, and the guy called up and said it's all useless, and Ted Pike is an idealist and dreamer thinking that we can influence Congress, but I reminded him that we have defeated the federal hate crimes bill five times in five Congresses over the last 10 years. We've defeated it every time.
Did you catch that, folks? No, you think it's not going to have an effect? Five
yeah.
times they defeated this thing, and
that's
it'll happen
right.
again
it's,
if you take action, if you help.
It's always been done by a minority of people against overwhelming odds. In fact, I can't think hardly of a time when we weren't outvoted in Congress, and they had the votes to do it, but I believe divine providence is watching over this country, and God has put these evil men into confusion. And I think he can still cause a spirit of contention and rivalry, bad blood between Obama and his renegade Democrats in Congress, and we can still see a veto of the arms
sure.
slash hate bill.
Well, common sense, if you don't do anything, it's you know, they're going to have their way.
Well, right, and I ask people who say, well, they don't think it'll work. Well, I say, what is our other alternative? And they're silent. There is nothing we can do because this bill has passed two branches of Congress, and it will go forward into Congress, into conference in September, and then on to the president unless we act. Now, I should remind people that 2 years ago, we also had the hate bill passed by both the House and the Senate overwhelmingly, but in the fall, in December, the Democrats themselves started quarreling among themselves over this arms bill, and about 75 Democrats decided they weren't going to support a defense bill that didn't provide terms for withdrawal from Iraq.
Right.
So they buckled there, and they joined with 185 Republicans, and they destroyed the hate bill. Then, largely, the Democrats destroyed their own hate bill. Mm-hmm. The same thing could happen today, but what's important now is we remain active, we remain angry and vigilant, and we voice our objections now to the president.
I want you to give that fax number again, Ted. Again, folks, if you're listening, I just mentioned if you don't have a fax machine, that's no excuse. You can go down for less than $2, your local convenience store, they'll have a fax machine. So go ahead and give that number and take it down, folks. Get involved. Go ahead again, Ted.
It's 1-202-456-2461. Again, 202-456-2461. And just say, Mr. President, we will never forgive or forget if you sign the freedom-destroying, pedophile-protecting hate bill.
Now, I want you to elaborate on the last part of that. Obviously, this bill is going to suppress freedom of speech. That goes our Second Amendment right. In what way is this going to protect pedophiles?
Okay, this bill protects, under the class sexual orientation, all homosexuals. Whether they're illegal or legal, if they're respectable or not, all homosexuals are protected as a class. Now, there are many homosexuals who are preying upon young boys, who are pedophiles, and so on.
Yeah, and a lot of them are in Congress, too.
Yeah, that is the great undercurrent, the subclass within the so-called gay rights movement.
Mm.
Now, you see, what this legislation does, it says that anybody who attacks or commits a hate crime against any homosexual, regardless of his deviancies or his practices, anybody who commits a hate crime against them, and that homosexual, whether it's a pedophile or what, if they scream hate crime, it means that the federal government has to give them special attention, special priority, special forensic and investigative services. And the local DA, the police, they're all obligated under federal law to come actually three times faster. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. This legislation requires, it mandates triple penalties, at least three tiers higher level of penalties against those who might attack a homosexual. What that means is that these homosexuals are three times more important than the rest of the population. Now, if they're three times more important, that means we are three times less important. And in fact, the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder, made it very clear that not only homosexuals, but Muslims and Jews and Latinos and women, et cetera, all these other groups are actually the same thing is true. They're all three times more important than the rest of the population. And so this means that the full force of the federal government and local justice and local law enforcement will be coming with three times the zeal, three times the quickness to come and investigate and possibly arrest anyone who has attacked a homosexual or a homosexual pedophile. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that the local DA, the local prosecution and justice system, cannot look into the facts and find out that this pedophile indeed really was attempting to rape your little boy, and then they can press charges against him and so on.
Right.
What this bill means is that initially, in the initial stages of prosecution and investigation, everything is weighted in favor, three times more in favor of the pedophile than the rest of the population. In fact, Judge Louis Gohmert...
So you're going to be much less likely to get a conviction.
Yeah.
Right.
Louis Gohmert, who is a representative in Congress from the state of Texas, was actually an appellate judge in Texas, and he testified in the House Judiciary Markup hearing about 3 months ago. He said that if a woman saw her child being attempted to raped by a homosexual pedophile, and she hit the rapist with her purse, and that homosexual pedophile and his friend screamed hate crime, claiming that she was violently attacking him because of his sexual orientation.
Oh, yeah.
She could spend up to 10 years in prison.
I've seen many examples of this. I've interviewed, she actually is a Harvard graduate. She's now a major lawyer in Boston. Her name is Wendy Murphy. She wrote a book a couple years ago, called Injustice for Some. And she said that rapists have more rights in the courtroom than their victims.
Yeah, right.
The way the screwy laws are written.
That's the reality. Often homosexuals will gang together and claim they were present, claim that they saw this, and they'll all stand up together.
Yeah.
And the police believe them. That certainly happened this last summer. A year ago, when a young man, a college student, was accused of a hate crime, and he pushed over a drunken homosexual who was accosting him, and all the homosexual's friends gathered together and made up a completely different story that he had violently attacked him and so on. And the police believed it. And
right.
So he was facing 3 years in prison for pushing over a drunken homosexual who was actually in his face. What we have here is an egregious violation, of course, of the 14th Amendment.
Turning victims into offenders.
Yeah.
And the offenders into the victims, yeah.
That's right. This is a gross violation of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, which, of course, says that the government is not in the business of elevating one type of person or one type of class above the rest.
Right.
But as I mentioned, you know, we do have an excellent 10-minute video at truthtellers.org, in which we have a lot of clips of Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, actually spitting it out very clearly, admitting in the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing a couple of months ago that this is not equality for all. Contrary to what this bill says on the first page, that it will protect everyone according to race, religion, and gender equally from violent hate crimes in the states, he said that is not so. He said this bill is only to protect relatives of minorities in this country, of people that he claims have been the victims of white, Christian, heterosexual civilization over the centuries. So this is payback time for the liberals. This legislation is designed to basically give reparations, if you will, perpetual reparations to those people and groups and deviant elements of society they believe have been under the heel of Christian conservative persecution.
Right. And, you know, I just want to make it clear that when we talk about, you know, homosexual pedophiles, we're not saying that all homosexuals are pedophiles.
No, of course not.
But the ones who are, you know, the men who rape young boys,
yeah,
can use this legislation. It's written so that it, you know, it can protect these people.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, would that work the same with, you know, adult women who would go after young girls? Like Janet Reno, for example?
Anybody who is a homosexual, male or female, has special protections under this legislation, under sexual orientation.
Right.
And again, it's all hypocritical, because the bill itself says that anybody, either heterosexual or homosexual, is protected under under the pseudo class of sexual orientation, but the Attorney General said, no, that's not true. It's only homosexuals who are going to find protection from violent hate crimes. That means that if a homosexual attacks a heterosexual because of a straight person's heterosexuality, that heterosexual victim can only find redress and justice in conventional legal system under an assault charge or something like that. Whereas the homosexual, if he's attacked by a heterosexual, he can get triple penalties against the heterosexual. Not only that,
even being the victimizer, yeah.
Yeah. Not only that, but the homosexual actually can tremendously inconvenience the one that he's accusing of a hate crime by forcing him to get the very best legal protection, because you see he's facing now a major federal felony, and he'd better dish out at least $10,000 as a retainer to the best lawyer he can find, and expect perhaps to spend tens of thousands more in the various
sure.
levels of the court.
And this has gone on. I mean, again, I interviewed just for example Wendy Murphy. I've interviewed other lawyers too who tell the same story, but she says it's astonishing. People don't realize this unless they've been taken to court and seen how it's worked directly, you know, from inside, or if they work in the, you know, in the judicial system themselves, they don't know. They don't know that this goes on. But she said the laws are not written to protect the victims anymore. They're written, and she sees it all the time in court. Corrupt
yeah.
judges, corrupt lawyers. The victimizers get off scot-free by the laws, the way that they've been rewritten.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of the corrupt judges, this legislation is just custom made to be delivered over to federal judges, appellate judges, circuit court judges, all throughout the judicial peck order. You see, once this law is passed, then the ADL from the behind the scenes will begin to select its victims.
Right.
It probably won't be mainstream, respectable Christian conservatives or whatever. It'll be people who are on the fringe. They'll start with the KKK, the Aryan Nations, the skinheads, etc.
Right.
But those cases will go into the appeal courts, and then these very corrupt liberal judges, these cases will be delivered over to them, and predictably they will legislate from the bench with the philosophy that they are going to lay down judicial precedents that are not just to protect people from violent physical hate crimes, but also from verbal violence, those cutting words
right.
that diminish people and make them feel bad and so on.
And, you know, we see this across the board in so many things. In the name of protecting the interests of the minorities, you know, the majorities are getting kicked to the curb, and the
yeah.
minorities are getting away with all kinds of things. It's just a total... Now it's reverse discrimination, literally, is what it's become.
Yes.
You know, I just want to elaborate in case there's any confusion. We're not saying that this is protection from all pedophiles. Just when it involves same sex, a man with a boy, a woman with a young girl, you know, it's like they're trying to open the door and give protection. You know, today they'll start with this, so that if it's a, quote, homosexual, quote, unquote, pedophilic, assault, they can get away with it. And then later they'll say if a man is with a young girl or a woman is with a young boy, you know, they'll expand it. But right now they're making it out so that a homosexual type pedophilic assault can be protected by this law because it involved a homosexual, quote-unquote, pedophilic assault, you know.
Yes.
It's just word games right now. But ultimately, yeah, this is where it's going.
Yeah.
This is where it's going.
Well, the heterosexual pedophile would not be protected under this bill, at least at this time, as you're saying. And the astonishing thing is that Eric Holder spit this all out. He was under pretty rigorous cross-examination from some feisty Republicans there, including Senator Jeff Sessions and others. And repeatedly he clarified that this legislation is not what it is described as by liberal apologists. You know, you call into a liberal senator's office like Senator Kennedy's office and you say, will this bill protect everybody? And they say, of course it will. Read the first page. There's going to be no discrimination allowed for all Americans according to religion, race, and gender, and so on. That's the standard line. many callers have reported they've received from liberal staffers in Congress and so on.
Yeah.
Now, here's Eric Holder, and we have been saying these things in our video. He's saying, oh, no, that's not the case. It's basically the text of the bill is a lie. We have no intention of protecting all Americans. So basically, this is very divergent from the whole ideal of America, which is for equal justice for all. That's an American ideal.
Right.
And
ADL
has sold the same thing on the state level to state legislatures, saying this is equal protection for all Oregonians or all people of Florida, that they have protection under these hate laws, and these gullible legislators have all bought it. 45 states have bought this line from the ADL, but it's a lie.
And it really is the ADL behind legislation like this all the time, isn't it?
Oh yes. ADL is the architect. In fact, I mentioned a little earlier in the program, they were very candid in opening up in their statement after the hate bill passed in July, saying basically we're the ones who are the pioneers of this legislation. We persuaded 45 states, and now we are the architects of the federal bill. Now, I do have videos. I have a video at truthtellers.org. Actually, it's an 82-minute video in which I go into the sordid history of the creation of the model anti-hate law ADL concocted and formulated back in 1988. At their Hofstra conference in New York at Hofstra University, and how they not only radiated out through U.S. states, but earlier they had actually created the hate laws for Canada. But whether it's Sweden, whether it's France and England or Australia, ADL worldwide, very proudly is part of the Neighboreth International, a huge Jewish supremacist organization, which uses the member votes, lodges and chapters in all these countries. In fact, in 56 nations of the world, ADL is involved in establishing hate laws. And in Europe right now, ADL B'nai B'rith has set up a 56-member nation hate law bureaucracy called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. And they are welding together Europe into a huge hate crimes Gestapo of 56 participating nations.
Wow.
And one of the reasons I should mention that they want this federal hate law so badly is because they are wanting to internationalize hate crimes enforcement so that whether you're in France or Australia or Canada or America, we will all be under treaty jurisdiction, and regardless of who the president is or the Congress is, they will be obligated to enforce federal and international hate laws.
Yeah, so here we go. This is all leading toward, you know, world government, folks. Wake up, snap out of it, and see what's going on here.
Yeah, that's right.
They want...
In fact, the Congress of Europe in France, they actually have given themselves legislative powers to actually instruct and bring into participation with their legal hate crime system any other nation in the world who wants to participate in it. And what this means is that if you have a so-called anti-Semite in America and the Congress of Europe or EU want to demand that that person be extradited for violation of European hate laws,
mm-hmm.
then they can demand that. And
yep.
That's exactly what happened in Frederick Toben. You know Frederick Toben, the Holocaust reductionist?
Right.
He just this last few weeks here was finally, after escaping an EU warrant in Britain last summer, because of a technicality in their wording over there, the EU basically said, well, don't think you're going to be free very long, Tobin, because even if you go to Australia, Australia will honor our extradition request. And
This is your world government, folks.
Yeah,
this is where
Tobin,
it's going. No place to hide.
Just 3 weeks ago, Toben was arrested under Australian law, but under the orders, basically, of the Congress of Europe, European Parliament. He's now in jail for 3 months.
And they're going to, you know, if everything goes according to plan, they're going to implement the North American Union here by January. That's when the deal that Bush signed back in 2005. Is slated to kick in.
Yeah, and so, that means Canadian state hate laws could very well be merged
carried over here
ours.
Automatically. without even being voted.
So it's absolutely crucial, according to these One Worlders and ADL and so on, that a federal hate law be in place. And they've been working 10 years to do that. We've held them back. But, again, this underscores the absolute crisis now that people do whatever they can.
And, this goes back to what I said at the beginning of the show. This is where it's heading, folks. This is where it's going. Think of the implications of this. If you should research the Holocaust and find out, hey, wait a minute, a lot of this stuff is not substantiated here. These are hellaciously inflated claims. It wasn't, anything near what we were told it was. If you start to want to share that now and wake people up, we're being manipulated. This is propaganda. You can get, if this, continues, the trend continues here, like it's, with this hate crimes bill, like it's been done in so many European countries and up in Canada, you could literally find yourself facing, a 2-year prison sentence? I think that's
more than that. No, five-plus years. Ernst Zundel and Germa Rudolph were apprehended in America. Both of them were basically extradited from America back to Germany for trial, and Zundel is facing 5.5 years.
5.5 years.
And I believe it's very similar for Tobin. So,
simply for expressing your opinion. This is right out of the Dark Ages. What, are they going to burn you at the stake next? I mean, folks, if this doesn't stop now, if we don't stop it now, this monstrous snowball is going to roll all the way down the mountainside, and it's going to become a massive boulder and crush everything underneath it. The way to stop it is don't let that snowball start rolling at all to begin with.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
this
and
is tyranny, baby.
The truth of the matter is that eventually what the masters of these hate crimes laws want to do is to extradite all anti-Semites around the world to Jerusalem for trial there, for imprisonment in Jerusalem. And in fact, Christ, 2,000 years ago, he prophesied that in the last days they will be the Jews in Jerusalem, the Pharisees, will deliver you up to the synagogues in Jerusalem. It's Luke or Matthew. You will be delivered up to the synagogues. You will be tried and you'll be imprisoned. And of course, our Department of Anti-Semitism, which is the ADL front in the U.S. State Department, now says that anybody who even criticizes with strong criticism of the State of Israel, its military leaders, its IDF forces, is a classic anti-Semite. And up in Canada, being an anti-Semite is a federal crime, meaning criticism of the Jews.
Unbelievable. But yet they can talk about how evil Hitler was. How come that's not labeled anti-Aryan? Why aren't they arrested for speaking against the German people? It's the same kind of twisted logic that they use. Hey, listeners out there, you want to fall for that? You're a sap. This is nothing but twisted propaganda to prevent you from exposing the ADL's crimes and trying to take away your rights. You better wake up fast to what's going on, because if they have their way, you won't be able to expose their crimes. You'll be arrested simply for trying to stop the ADL from influencing your congressman to pass sleazy laws like this to crush your rights and have them emerge as the absolute manipulators and controllers of your government. They're pretty much already there now, aren't they?
Absolutely. In fact, a year or so ago, there was a citizen up in Canada who wrote a critical letter to his MP in Parliament. That letter was seized, and he was indicted and convicted for a hate crime just for expressing anger and criticism of immigration policies in Canada.
Unbelievable.
And there is no doubt about it that
imagine a Muslim group in Washington having a powerful lobby group and pushing a law to prevent you from speaking against Islam. How many Americans would stand for that? But, this Jewish, quote-unquote, really Zionist-run enterprise called ADL, they can push this legislation if people don't have a problem with it?
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is that behind the scenes, ADL runs Congress, dominates Congress.
Sure.
And although...
And then, of course, IPAC, their little sidekick.
Yeah, that's right. Enterprise. They walk the halls of the Senate and the House office buildings, making sure everybody is voting correctly for Israel. And fortunately, we have been able to give some spirit to Republican opposition. And I don't approve of a lot of what the Republicans do, but generally the Republicans have stood firm against the hate laws, especially in the House. We have some Republicans there, like Gohmert.
They must be anti-Semitic.
Yeah, well, they've fought hard this spring, and as you know, I've been militating and getting a lot of calls in going all the way since late December, early this spring, giving spirit and giving encouragement to the, particularly to the members of the House Judiciary Committee,
yep.
to fight the hate bill all the way. And they've thrived off of the encouragement, especially that the National Prayer Network has generated in there. But the ADL has a lockhold on Congress. And by the way, I was on with Joyce Riley yesterday morning, and this morning, in fact. And she says that if you call 1-877-SOB, you will get the Capitol hotline. Capitol operator.
Are you
and
serious?
I called it just 5 minutes here before the program, and sure enough, 1-877-SOB, and there was the Capitol operator.
That's pretty funny. I wonder if that's a coincidence.
No, it isn't.
I like to play these games. Yeah.
Well, I was on with Butch Paw. He says it too. So anyway, it shows that there is a hidden, contemptuous regard for the American people.
That reminds me of Obama's campaign slogan, "Yes, we can." Did you ever hear about that? If you play it back, it actually says, "Thank you, Satan." You got to wonder if they do that on purpose.
Oh,
too.
Really?
Yeah, I kid you not. It's all over the internet. You can Google it.
Yeah.
Very, very, it'd make your hair stand on end. It's very clear the way it comes out.
Oh, my.
So, again, you know, they do stuff like this on purpose, psychological warfare. You know, they probably picked slogans like that just to, you know, shove it in your face.
Yeah.
Backward thinking is a well-known manipulative practice.
It could be discouraging people, but we cannot allow ourselves to get jaded and pessimistic and discouraged. We have to have a populist revolt and outrage, and even though there are some who claim massive voter fraud, and I'm sure there's some reality to that, we have to remember that we do still have a good deal of clout, especially against these Democrats. Next term at midterms next year, and we have to let them know that we are very angry about this hate crimes legislation. In fact, in the last couple of days before the hate bill did pass in the Senate, I was able to help marshal massive resistance. We got lots and lots, many, many hundreds of calls coming in there in the last days before the hate bill passed. And this avalanche of protest and anger did influence the Democrats to try to throw a conciliatory sop to their angry constituents, and they did vote in the Brownback Amendment, which does have very stiff statements in there that no broadcaster, no pastor from the pulpit will be held accountable of how his words affect somebody else in the commission of a hate crime. So that was a silver lining to a very disastrous and dark day when the hate bill passed, that we do have the Brownback Amendment in there. But again, it could be stripped out in conference in September, because the Brownback Amendment was introduced 3 months ago in the House Judiciary markup, and it was rejected then. It was contemptuously rejected then because there wasn't the level of protest. So the level of protest is still a primitive force of power politics which we the people can muster, and I'm just encouraging everybody. Again, the number for the
fax number.
For the fax number is 877. I'm looking at the SOB. Excuse me, it's 202-456-2461. Again, that's 202-456-2461. And just say, "Mr. President, we will never forgive or forget if you sign the freedom-stealing, pedophile-protecting hate bill." I didn't also encourage people to come to our website. We have an excellent, a new 7.5-minute video encouraging people to do this. We have many recent articles about the hate bill. And, of course, we are the premier world authority educational resource on the problems and disaster that hate crimes legislation has brought to the world.
Excellent. Yeah, give the website again.
Truthtellers.org.
There you go.
Right here on our homepage, we have seven or eight now, brief 10-minute videos on all aspects of hate crimes laws. And we have, of course, a number of other longer videos on similar Zionist subjects and hate laws subjects.
Excellent. So folks, if you're not angry enough yet listening to this broadcast, go to truthtellers.org, look at the material there, educate yourself, and you will want to get involved. You will have to get involved. You will realize you can't sit back anymore and allow these scoundrels to destroy what is left of our country. We've run out of time, Ted, but I want to thank you again. Keep up the good work. You're doing a fantastic job, and we want to have you on again soon to update us on the progress, or hopefully lack thereof, of this sleazy piece of legislation.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much, Charles.
Thank you for all you're doing. Take care.